Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Father, I praise you, Jesus. I magnify you, Lord.
Jesus.
Holy is your name, Jesus. Worship you, Father. I love you, Lord.
We bless you, Jesus.
Worship you, Father.
Praise you,
Jesus. Worship you, Father.
Praise you,
Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. I love you, Lord.
Praise you.
We praise you, Jesus.
Father, I bless you and I thank you, Father, for every person here tonight, Jesus. Father, this is a training ground here, Lord. This church is a training ground, Father. To go out and get the lost, Father, to disciple them. First and foremost, so we must become disciples first. This is a training ground, Father, for me and for the elders and for everybody. This is a training ground, Lord. We see long term. We see the revival, Lord. There's no denying anything when the revival comes, Lord. But in the meantime, this is a training ground. I believe that the young people that are going to come here, Father, are going to come here because they're serious about you. Not to pass time in church, just to be serious about you. And I thank you, Lord, that as you train me and you show me, I do the same thing also unto them. You show me daily, Lord. You correct me daily in love. You teach me daily, Holy Spirit. In the same token, I want to teach my brothers and my sisters what you teach me through that supernatural gift of praying in tongues. So, Father, I bless you. I worship you. Your precious name I pray, Lord. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Yes, you can be seated real quiet. We might come back to worship in a little bit. We got a late start. Good job, Terry and Renee. Hallelujah. 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 Yes. There's going to be a revival in this town one day where the power of God is going to overwhelm the city. But I don't really think, and it isn't my heart's ambition, to see a huge youth group. I mean, if I had 1 million kids come in here, that'd be fine. But I believe this is a training ground for young people to come and to deny themselves and to really find Jesus. There's been so many young women, and it breaks my heart, that have started out on fire. But then Mr. Wright come along. So many young ladies literally make you weep. The flesh is a powerful thing if it's not dealt with. They've come to this altar, kneeled and prayed, saying, we'll give up this, we'll give up that. And you don't even see him in church anymore. Well, actually, the problem wasn't Mr. Wright. The problem was that they lacked understanding of who Jesus was. They were complacent. Let me break the word complacent down for you. They were lazy. They were lazy. They were just flat out lazy. And the cares of this world preoccupied them. And they stayed away from this. Their intention was there. That's what happens with a lot of Christians. The intentions are there, but they lack a download. With this word and with the supernatural gift of praying in tongues, if I do it on a consistent basis, I'll never fail. The Holy Ghost has been showing me so much through the book of Proverbs. So much on the importance of downloading God's word. Listen to this to me. Listen to this. And this is about the second or third week I've been on the power of the word. I feel a couple of teachings coming on what exactly praying in tongues does. Because really and truly, 99.9% of the body doesn't have a clue what praying in tongues does. They don't have a clue. They think it's just an emotional outburst. And it usually is. It usually is. But I'm going to teach you something tonight, and I beg you, if you listen, I promise you, you will learn something tonight, and this will help you in your everyday walk with God. In your everyday walk with God, if you listen, I beg you to listen tonight. We're going to talk about a fine-looking woman. You know where I'm going with this. Fine-looking woman. Fine. You know, I like being comical. I very, very seldom do I hear secular music. I'll hear an oldie every once in a while. Sometimes I'll click to the station and I'll hear an old song. How many of you heard the song Brick House? Yeah. 36, 24, 36. Ah, she's a brick. Okay. We're going to talk about a brick house woman tonight. I mean, yeah. Yeah, it sounds a little crazy, don't we? We're going to talk about a brick house woman. Or so you think. Now, guys, I want you to raise your hand in here. If women look attractive to you. Alex put up 2 hands and both his feet. At least he's honest. We got some beautiful young ladies here. We got some beautiful young women in our church. And guys, if you don't think a woman's beautiful, if you, oh, a pretty woman don't faze me, you liar. Either you're lying or you're... And this is not a reproach against gay people either. Either, even pastor said, a woman's awesome to look at. I mean, you lust after her, you got issues. You're committing adultery. New Testament adultery. But a woman, and like Melody said, she likes looking at some abs every once in a while too. She said it. I'm just repeating what she said. Are men attractive to Melody? Amen. Amen. You know, it's not me and Deidre's fault that we look like we look. We're fine looking men, ain't we, Deidre? But I'm going to talk today about a woman. 36, 24, 36. Or so we think. Or so the church preaches. And I've been in Proverbs, and you don't know how blessed you are. Because what takes me years to comprehend and to break and to relate to you, you get it in a matter of 30 minutes. There's some stuff in there, guys, that I've been reading for years, and all of a sudden, like Reuben said, the light clicks on. That's what it means. That's what praying in tongues will do for you, man. That's why every church has different opinions and different doctrines, because the Holy Spirit is not their teacher. I put on Facebook the other day, I said, I don't know if anybody read it, before I tell you to follow my spiritual blog, or I direct you to another spiritual blog, or tell you to follow that person on Twitter, I'll tell you to read your Bible first. Because spiritual blogs, most of the time, have human error and logic. And some lady got onto me on Facebook, but I let her, it's okay. This has no logic. This has no error. So now I'm not saying all blogs are off. Now that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying, but most are. But this blog, the voice of the Holy Spirit, it's no blemish. So let's get back to talking about 36, 24, 36. By the way, that's the dimensions of the woman on the song. We're going to name it that to be comical. Now, don't go look for the song on YouTube tonight. Don't do it. Don't go try to download it on your MP3 or your iPhone or whatever. Don't. But we're going to talk about a woman tonight. Listen to this. Women get the blame for just way too much. Way too much. If a young lady has multiple affairs, I think I could be blunt with y'all. She's considered a whore, right or wrong. A guy has trophies. I mean, yeah, that boy's a stud. Am I right or wrong? A woman slips up a couple of times and she, three or four or five guys or whatever, and whatever it may be. She's considered the word whore. Huh? Oh, so yeah, okay, she's considered a harlot or whatever. Okay, that's fine. But she had affairs with guys. What about the guys? A guy, he's a stud. Sort of unfair to either one. And what breaks my heart is what I'm going to preach to you here. As I've heard it preached so perverse and backwards, where the woman gets all the blame. The 36, 24, 36 woman gets the blame for everything. Listen to this. I promise you, you'll be blessed. I promise you. Proverbs 5. Listen to this. My son, attend unto my wisdom. This is his wisdom, by the way. Bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and thy lips may keep knowledge. Verse 1, my son, he's talking to me. Homer, attend unto my wisdom, bow thine ear to my understanding. Have you ever seen when you call a dog, what's the first thing he does, the dog? His what? His ears do what? It's like if I'm coming off a fast and I see a steak, I go, you know. He says, my son, attend unto my wisdom. This is his wisdom right here. Homer, basically in layman's terms, read my word. Put it in you. Incline your ear to my word. When he says wisdom, when he says understanding, when he says knowledge, he's talking about the same thing in the book of Proverbs. How do you know? Because I read it a whole bunch of times. Now, this is going to get good. I promise you it is. Why do you want me to attend unto wisdom, Solomon? Why do you want me to bow my ear to understand? He said that thou mayest regard discretion. and thy lips may keep knowledge. This is what he said, that thou mayest regard discretion. What that means is, bow your ear to wisdom. Read it. Bow your ear to understand. Why, Solomon? Why? That thou mayest regard discretion. What's he mean by that? He said, put wisdom in you. Put understanding in you. For what reason, Solomon? That you may regard discretion. What that word discretion means is the word plan. In other words, as I download this into my spirit, into my heart, I'm downloading wisdom. I'm downloading understanding. That's why the young ladies that started out on fire, so they're no longer here with us, because they refused to download wisdom and understanding. The ones that make it are the ones that what? Download wisdom and understanding. Then only do they have access to verse 2, that thou mayest regard discretion. What he's saying is, as you download this, Deidrin, as you download this, Renee, you're able to regard discretion. What do you mean, regard discretion? You're able to keep the plan of God. Why? Because the plan of God is what? In you. He said that you'll be able to regard discretion. Discretion is the plan of God. Notice he gave a qualification to being able to regard God's plan. Now, our football team this year is pretty powerful team. We might have one of the best teams in the state, and they have a chance to win state this year. They're tough. Their kids work out hard, but they can't win without practice. They can't win without chemistry. They got to play together. They got to have a plan. And they won't know the defensive plays and the offensive play unless they what? Unless you go over them. Over and over. How many times do y'all go over an offensive play before y'all get it right? Exactly right. You do it till you get it right. And then when you get it, you're able to operate out of what you got. You have that play in your mind. You're able to regard it because it's in you. It's the same thing with God's word. He said, my son, that isn't even the part I want to teach you. My son, attend unto my wisdom, bow thine ear to my understanding. Why, Solomon? That you may regard discretion and thy lips may keep knowledge. This is what he's saying here. Download this, retain it, regard it. How do I regard it? When I download it, I'll regard his plan and I'll work it out. He said, then your lips will keep knowledge. What it's saying is, what's in you, buddy? That you'll speak. If this isn't in you, you won't speak. You might speak it on occasion to flatter people, but the real you eventually will come out. But listen to this though. Listen to this. We're going to talk about the 36, 24, 36. Now, I really don't know if I had to help me. It might sound a perverted, but it's not. What exactly, now y'all help me for real, this is a serious question. The 36, 24, 36 that the song says, the dimensions of a woman's, of her waist, is that what it is? Or okay. Okay. So in other words, she'd be looking good, right? 36, 24, 36. Now listen to this now. For thou, okay. Verse 3, listen carefully now. Listen real carefully. This is going to bless you, man. He goes and he tells me and you the importance. Listen carefully now. He tells me the importance of keeping wisdom in me. He tells me the importance of it. He tells me the importance of keeping his law in me. He said, the way you'll keep my law is if you download my law. And if you, now we don't download, we don't download his law to make it anymore. We download the New Testament to grow in Christ. But he's telling me to download his word in me and I'll be able to keep his plan. I can keep his plan because his plan is in me. Then all of a sudden, Alex knows where I'm going with this because I shared this with him the other day. All of a sudden, in verse 3, he goes from telling me and you to walk holy. He goes from telling me and you in the law, the first 5 books of the Bible. But now he's talking about the New Testament. He's telling me and you not to fornicate. He's telling me and you not to cheat, not to drink, not to steal, not to judge. And all of a sudden, it sounds like the Holy Spirit is flat out ignorant and bipolar. Because he goes on to telling me to deposit wisdom. This is why people fail. This is why there's failure in the body of Christ. He tells me the importance of downloading this. He tells me if I download it, my lips will speak what's in me. I'll regard and work out the plan of God because it's in me. He said, read it. Give your ear to it, Homer. Hear it. Deposit it. So you may regard God's plan. If I deposit God's plan, I'll regard it and I'll do it and I'll fulfill it and I'll speak it. Why? Because it's in me. Then all of a sudden, out of the blues, he says something that it seems flat out stupid. He says in verse 3, for the lips of a strange woman or an adulterous woman or a harlot. The 36:24-36. He said, for the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb. In other words, the lips of that woman are, they're what? If he said, for the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, what's he saying about that woman's lips? They're what? Sweet. Yeah. Can y'all say amen, fellas? Amen. Listen to this. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Think about that now. He tells me it's so vital, Miss Barbara, to deposit his word in me. He tells the old covenant Jew to keep the Ten Commandments. Then all of a sudden, he seems to change the subject. He says, for the lips of a strange woman or a harlot or an adulterous woman, they drop like a honeycomb. And her mouth is smoother than oil. You know, this has been preached that it's talking about a physical woman. So God goes through the Holy Spirit, through Solomon, and he tells me, Melody, Homer, it's so vital that you deposit God's judgments, his law. Now, we don't deposit that to grow in him anymore. We deposit the new covenant. You can learn from the old, but you better know what you're reading. Now we deposit the New Testament in us. He goes to tell me, deposit my word, Homer, that your heart may keep what you deposit. The qualification for me to walk away from evil is to deposit his word. Then all of a sudden he says, he tells me all that to grow in him. Then he says, for the lips of a strange woman, or let me put it like this, for the lips of a harlot, or the lips of a whore, drop like a honeycomb. Her mouth is smoother than oil. Again, I'm going to reiterate, then I'm going to start commenting on this. He tells me to read his word, Deidrin. He tells me to read his word, Eddie. Read it. If you read it, son, you'll keep it. If you keep it, you'll speak it. You'll regard God's plan and you'll walk it out. And by the way, for the lips of a strange woman, they're sweet. And her mouth is smoother than oil. By God, what are you talking about, Solomon? You tell me to download God's word for my spiritual growth. Then you go on and you talk about a woman. A fine looking woman, it seems like you're talking about, Solomon. My friends, if God were to judge a woman only for being a harlot or an adulterer, wouldn't he be unjust? Think about it. If a woman commits adultery, it's with a man. You would think. So then, the man can take a woman, commit adultery with her, and God not judge him and just the woman. Does that sound like something God would do? Think about it. He said, by the way, as you read the word of God, the lips of a harlot are sweeter than honey. And her lips are smoother than oil. Wouldn't God be wrong in just blaming the woman that committed adultery? Wouldn't you think that'd be wrong on God's part? Yes or no? Absolutely. Have you ever, now this is for guys only. Guys, have you ever seen, I'm going to go back to my sinning days when I wasn't born again. Guys, when we used to see a good looking woman with a 36:24-36, we would break our neck to look at her. Now, but Proverbs says, for the lips of a harlot, they're sweeter than oil. What he's saying is, her words are so smooth. She will lure you. She will attract you with her words. I used to see a good looking woman from a distance. Think about it. And I'm going to teach this. I used to see her from a distance. What she said didn't entertain me. Are you with me on this? Solomon said that her lips, her voice, her mouth is so sweet. Her words are so sweet. But if I seen a good looking woman from 20 yards away, there was nothing she could say to cause me to be attracted to her. You know what would attract me to her from a distance? The hips, the 36, 24, 36 would attract me to her. She didn't even have to say nothing to me. And great day. You know what I'm talking about? She looks, I don't know what the terminology is nowadays. Fat. P-H-A-T. But she wouldn't have to say nothing. We break our necks. We do whatever we could to, hey baby, you know. But she wouldn't even have to say nothing. She wouldn't even have to say, she could be with her boyfriend or with her husband. We'd break our neck to take that extra look. We'd do whatever we could, if possible, to do whatever we wanted to do with her, if possible. Because she looked good. It had nothing to do with what she said. She ain't got to say nothing for a man to be attracted to a good-looking woman. We're not worried about her vocabulary. We're worried about the 36, 24, 36. But there's only one problem with the 36, 24, 36. The problem was, he said, download my word and you'll walk according to God's plan. By the way, for the lips of an adulterous woman, they're sweeter than honey and smoother than oil. What are you talking about, Solomon? My friends, the immoral woman, the adulteress, the whore, is not a physical woman. He didn't say that her beauty or that her lips allured me to her. You can see a fine looking woman, she can cuss like a sailor, and she'll still be attractive to a man. The problem wasn't, it's not even remotely close to talking about a woman in Proverbs chapter 3. When you see a woman, we're talking about people that aren't born again. She walks by. You could care less what she says. You're looking at one thing. You're looking. Her beauty is drawing you. Her curves are drawing you. Her beautiful face is drawing you. You're looking at her. But the Holy Spirit didn't say that her breasts were drawing you, or her rear end was drawing you, or her waist was drawing you. He said the lips, the words of a harlot are sweeter than honey. Well, what do you mean, Pastor Homer? I'll tell you exactly what it means. When I download this into my heart, I grasp understanding of who God is. I grasp it. In all essence, what exactly did this is a bunch of what? Words. I deposit His words in me, and I walk according to His words because they're what? In me. So then he said, if I did that, by the way, the lips of an immoral woman, the lips of an adulteress, they're sweeter than honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. He didn't say her curves would draw me to her. He didn't say her beautiful face would draw me to her. He said the lips, the mouth, the voice of an immoral woman was powerful. They're sweeter than honey. It says later in 7 that she's loud and stubborn. Her feet remain not in her house. What he's saying is this, Homer, put my words in you. Because what you put in, son, that's what you'll live out of. And by the way, for the lips of an immoral woman, her words, they're sweet and smoother than oil. What he's talking about, my friends, is the flesh. The part of me and you that gives us problems in life. When you want to sin in life, or when I want to sin, it's not your spirit that wants sin, it's your flesh. It's the immoral woman that gives you the issue. But notice, Proverbs says that she is loud. In other words, her voice is loud and stubborn. Okay, now let's get away from the 36, 24, 36, because it is not talking about a fine looking woman whatsoever. It's not talking about a woman that gives herself to a man. It's not talking about that. He's saying there's a part of me and you. It's called your flesh. And they can give you a lot of problems when there's something in your life that wants to cause you to sin. What do you feel inside of you? You feel temptation coming by her? What? We put this in us. It's His word, right? Download it in us. It comes out as word. When temptation comes to a modern day believer, doesn't it seem to come from inside? And it talks to you. It's persistent. Go ahead. It sounds logical. Do it. say it, breathe it, do it. God will forgive you. How many of you have heard that before? That, my friends, is the harlot, the immoral woman. The flesh is so powerful. It speaks to you. It wants you to commit adultery against God's word. It wants you to cheat on Jesus Christ. And she makes so much sense sometimes. She can bring you so much gratification. The Bible says she's loud and stubborn. If you don't know how to meditate the Bible, you won't know how to take that verse. She's loud and stubborn, and she seems so strong and so real. Why do you think the flesh seems stronger in one person than it does in another? Why? In context to what I've been teaching you. Why? What's that? One is consistent in downloading truth. This will cause you to walk in peace if it's in you. Now, if it's not in you, you'll go ballistic. Now, I know certain people that if their kids get pregnant, my God, they're going to commit suicide. You know why? Because to them, it's a direct reflection of them. See, what they do, if they want to act worldly, I'm going to, as a father, we're going to sit down 3 or 4 days a week and we're going to read the Bible. That's all I can do. If they want to fool around and act like heathens, I can't babysit them. That's on them. There's enough of this in me to sustain me even through their sin. I'm not going to lose a drop of sleep over their lifestyle. Why? Because this, the promises of Almighty God are in me. When my mom died, I couldn't even cry. Why? Because I had a revelation of where she was. I cried just to cry. People would think that I was mourning. I made myself cry at the funeral. I don't want people to think I was crazy. Why? Because this is downloaded in me. It's in me. And he wants you to put it in you. If not, if you don't download that in you, something else is going to speak to you. And that something else is the what? The harlot. The immoral woman that speaks to me and you with words. It's not talking about a beautiful woman. If God judged the woman for committing adultery, he'd be unjust. If he didn't judge the man, has nothing to do with a beautiful woman. A beautiful woman is beautiful, period, because God created her pretty. If you lust after her, that's your problem. What he's saying is, if you download this word, you won't hear her words. His words supersede her words. Proverbs says she's loud and stubborn. Yes, she's loud and stubborn in a believer who lacks the word. Because her words are trumping the little bit of word that you got in you. He says she's loud. Who's she loud and stubborn to? To that believer, because he's empty of the word of the Almighty God. That's why young ladies come. That's why you got to stay with us. There's a call on you. There's a call on you. So many young ladies have come in here and they forsook it because they lacked understanding. They couldn't give ear to God's plan because God's plan wasn't in them. The immoral woman, our flesh, it talks and she's powerful and it's violent. But in the end, she'll take you straight to hell. But make no mistake, she speaks with words to me and you. If her voice is loud and stubborn, when we put God's word in us, it gets so much easier to defeat the part of us that wants to sin against God. I've made the mistake so many times of judging the hunger of a young person by the way they worship over here. And I made the mistake. Oh my God, did you see that? You see how hungry they are, Alex? That's not necessarily true. Though there's nothing wrong with worshiping, I've made the mistake of saying this young lady's so hungry, this young man's so hungry by the display of worship that's great, my friends, but he's after righteousness. And he's giving me and you an instruction. He said, look, let me show you how to avoid the part of you that gives you problems. He called the part of me and you that gave us problems, he called it the immoral woman. He said, her, guys, you think about this now. I want you to think about times when you're reading and praying, how you feel so strong, don't you? Stop reading and praying. All of a sudden, what comes up? Your old what? Which is the, say, okay, When you stop praying, when you stop reading, you stop feeling God's word. Something else rises up, which is old habits, old want-tos, which is known as the immoral woman, the harlot. And guys, when you're not reading, when you're not praying, when you're not seeking God, it gets real easy to hear her words. You know why? Because her words are in you. Proverbs says she's loud and she's stubborn. Yes, she's loud and stubborn to the believer that doesn't have this in them. We were talking about our kids going through stages. Look, you don't have to go through stages. The young man or the young woman that goes through a stage, it's not a way of life. Jesus just didn't go through stages. He was consistent all the way through as a man. My kids don't have to go through stages. If they do, it's because they got complacent with this and they gave their ear to the immoral woman. They gave their ear to their own flesh. Why? Because they stopped communicating with him here. You deposit this in you consistently, buddy. It will go wherever you go. It will talk to you when you're asleep, when you're awake. It will lead you wherever you're at. This will guide you and lead you if it's in you. It can't guide you and lead you when it's there. It's got to go from there to here. Then you'll have tremendous power and victory over your flesh, a.k.a. the immoral woman. But that is worthless to you sitting 5 feet from you. You've got to get it from there to here. And I guarantee you, you'll overcome every damnable thing that this world says that you have to walk in. But you got to get it in you, man. Why? Because her words, the flesh's words, they're loud and they're stubborn. Loud and stubborn to a man or woman that doesn't have God's word in him. That's why teenager after teenager after teenager has come through this ministry on fire. I'm going to win the world. I'm going to be a mother to all. Mr. Wright came along. The immoral woman spoke. They're no longer here. Dozens have come through here. I know when they're not doing good because they don't call me. It's a dead giveaway. What he's after is holiness, consistency, purity. Why, Jesus? Because the lips, the words of an immoral woman, they're so sweet and persuasive. And her mouth is smoother than oil. Meaning, if you don't put this in you, which is his understanding, if you don't put his understanding in you, then what won't be in you? His what? If you don't put his understanding in you, then his blank won't be in you. His what? No, or in context of what I'm teaching you. If you don't put his understanding in you, if you don't take it from here to here, then what won't be in you? His what? According to what I just said. His understanding. If I don't put understanding in, that understanding won't exist. But there will be another understanding that lives inside of me, which is what? My own understanding. There's two understandings that dwell in you. His understanding, if you download it, but if you don't download it, friends, there'll be another slash understanding inside of you, which is the understanding of the world, which is the understanding of the immoral woman, which is the understanding of a harlot, which is the understanding of the flesh, and you will fail. One or two things have to exist in you. His understanding, if you don't have his understanding in you, slash, you got no choice. Now you do as a born-again believer with a born-again spirit. You can overcome sin, but it's going to be real hard. Because your emotions are going to bombard you into thinking you have to commit to the ways of the immoral woman, which is the flesh. That's why young men come in here and they're on fire for God. But they don't download this inside of them. And they feel the thing they struggle with. They can never shake it. But they're not giving Jesus Christ an opportunity. You got to give Jesus a chance to work in you, man. Young man told me, pray for me, Pastor. I got a problem with lust. Only thing I can pray for you is, buddy, is that you develop a prayer life. You had dominion over lust the moment you got born again. Don't sell out, man. Don't sell out. The problem isn't the beautiful woman. The problem is our flesh. Our flesh is loud and stubborn. But at the end, our flesh will lead us straight to hell if we lack understanding of God's word. Let me read this to you real quick and I'm done. I promise. Real quick. Listen to this real quick. Again, we're on the same subject. Proverbs 16. Everyone proud in heart. Proud where? Proverbs talks about the heart so much. What does your heart consist of? Your what? Mind, will, your intellect, and your emotion. Listen to this. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Pride. Lord Jesus, He detests pride. Hand in hand, He shall not be unpunished. Same subject. Listen to this. By mercy and truth, this is also considered mercy and truth right here. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. By mercy and truth, listen to this now. Everyone proud in heart, where? Everyone proud where? Everyone proud where? Everyone proud where? Is an abomination or detestable to the Lord. And by, and hand in hand, he shall not go unpunished. Verse 6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. How can I use the word purge? Anybody help me, Barbara, Melody, somebody? How can I use, well, okay, yeah, there you go. Thank you. Now notice what he said, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged or, listen to me, or taken out of you. Listen to this now. He said, everyone proud in heart, where? Proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord, or what he does is detestable to God. Hand in hand, he shall not be unpunished. But listen to the hope that God gives us. By mercy and truth, this is considered mercy and truth. Proverbs 3, this is mercy and truth. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged or is taken out of us. What part of me and you does this affect according to what I just mentioned to you? It said by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. What did the verse prior to that verse tell me? That where did pride dwell? Where? In a heart. So as I read this, as I read mercy and truth, my what is purged from evil? My heart is purged from evil. But if I don't put mercy and truth in my heart to get rid of the evil, then I will walk according to what? The what? The immoral woman. He's giving me hope. He said, look, anyone proud in heart is detestable to God. Hand in hand, they will not go unpunished. He said, but this is the hope that I have, Deidre. But by mercy and truth, iniquity, sin is purged where? Out of my heart. You'll fail unless you learn to download this in your heart to purge me and you of the junk that's in us. If you don't put that in your heart, buddy, your heart won't be purged. There won't be a change. And if there is not a change, you will fail every single day to the lust that you have inside of you. This will get rid of the lust that we have inside of us. But you got to do something purposely. You got to read it and pray in tongues. Read it and pray in tongues. I'm going to teach you on praying in tongues. It's here in another week or so. But right now you got to download His Word in you. Why? Pastor Homer, why? Because it said you want to get rid of the evil in your heart. So download mercy and truth. If you don't download mercy and truth, you're going to give yourself to your flesh, to the immoral woman. Her voice will be so loud, you won't even think Jesus Christ exists, man. So some start out with a bang. Then they don't give ear to this. Their heart isn't purged. It isn't cleansed by the word. And they give in to the immoral woman, to the flesh. And they think that they can be a struggling Christian the rest of their life because they failed to put hope inside of them. That's why so many fail. That's why so many fail. So many. He said, by mercy and truth, iniquity, sin is purged. From where? Verse 5 says, from the heart. If there's anything that I want to be is a clean vessel before the Almighty God. I've fallen to the immoral woman before. I've fallen to the flesh as a preacher. I've fallen. But He gives me hope, Jimmy, that by mercy and truth, I can purge myself of the want-tos to sin against God. You've been served, baby. You've been served. We all got issues. The Christian that makes it is a Christian that takes it in and digests it. By this, our hearts is purged. Evil is taken out. Because there's a place of exchange. We're replacing the immoral woman's words with his words. But you got to take his word from here to here. I don't go nowhere without my Bible. I'll sit at the table and I'll read my Bible. I'll go to the bathroom. I do a lot of reading on the commode. If I go to an appointment and it's at 3:30, if I get there at 2:45, I'm going to read for 30 minutes. I'll read it as much as I can. Because by this, pride is purged out of my heart. And the more I pray in tongues, the true message of this word is relayed to my spirit. Don't give yourself to the immoral woman. Don't let her take you with her eyelids, with her voice. Because the end result of us giving ourselves to the flesh is first a lifestyle of misery, and second of all, ultimately, we will walk away from the living God. And the rest, well, you know, 66 books that can change you if you got the guts to download them. He said, Homer, download my word so that you'll give ear to my word. Why? Because the lips of an immoral woman, they're sweeter than honey, smoother than oil. But this trumps and beats the power of the flesh. Don't be another statistic. Make it. Make it. Men were sawn asunder in half because of this word. It demands respect. Live it. Digest it. In so doing, you'll purge your heart of iniquity. You'll purge it. You'll get that junk out of you. It might not be today. It might not be tomorrow. I'll even go on to tell you this, and I'm closing in 5 minutes. It's only 8:15. If you got an issue in your life, which I'm here to help you through your issue, I'm not here to point out your issue to you because I've got issues too. But I'm worst case scenario. Let's say you're gay, and I'm not talking about. Well, I'm believing every gay person come in this town and get born again. Let's say you're promiscuous in your lifestyle as a man or a woman. You've got to have it. I talked to a young lady one time. And this is how far the church has gone. I said, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing great, Pastor Holmes. I'm doing so good. I just got to have sex every once in a while. True story. True story. Now, okay. Now, let's say you're struggling with that. Let's say you're struggling with it. I'm not telling you it's fine. And neither is God. But if you slip up, you say, God, forgive me. And then you know what you do? You purge your heart with mercy and truth. Lord, I did it, Lord. Oh my God, I can't believe I did it. Okay, you did it. Put his word in you. Monday and Tuesday, I put his word in me. Wednesday, come along. Lord, I did it again. You think Jesus is in heaven pointing his finger at you? Is he telling you, Deidrean, Rosie, Homer, put mercy and truth in you. Get iniquity out of your heart. That's what he's saying. He's not mad at you, man. I don't care if you do it 15 times. Put this in you 15 times. Eventually, it's going to give. It's going to give. By mercy and truth. Now that doesn't give you a justification and a green light to do it. Oh, I'm going to do it because I'm going to read the Bible tonight. Yes. No, that's not what I'm saying. It's not what I'm saying. That's taking advantage of grace. What me and Reuben talked about. Grace causes you to walk in, not walk out of God. He said, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged from where? From our hearts. The voice of our flesh, if it doesn't have a download of who God is, oh my God, it's powerful. The flesh will take you out. He's telling me and you right here and right now, by mercy and truth, by this word, iniquity is purged. I want a clean heart to glorify Jesus. So what do? I worship Jesus. I'll read the word. I'll pray in tongues. When? Today. Then. Tomorrow.